alone. The winds of change are blowing through the weary night. I pray my soul will find me shining in the morning light. Down in below, down here below, it's not so easy just to be. Sometimes I'm really all at sea. You made me when the world was new and skies were blue, and your hand and scattered all across the land. But I am happy just to know that you will go where I must go.
Abby Lincoln, Aminata Moseka, as she preferred to be called, with Down Here Below. This was a piece that she dedicated to a man named Ken Bostock, who was a gardener for the city of San Francisco. It's from her 1995 album, A Turtle's Dream. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it seems almost surreal that only a few days have passed since we were last together and such horrific tragedy afflicts us. We can't comprehend how and why things happened the way they did. And we can't comprehend where we go now in the aftermath. 12 are killed, 6 wounded in a lone gunman's attack in Virginia Beach on May the 31st. 20 die and 26 are wounded in El Paso, Texas on August the 3rd, and the deadliest mass killing so far this year. Within hours, 9 more die and 27 are wounded in a mass killing in Dayton, Ohio. It may be possible at the end of extensive investigation for those doing the investigating to identify who is responsible for these crimes and what was the motivation. But even so, not all questions will be answered. We can't say, unfortunately, that this has been the largest mass killing so far this year. Mass killings are becoming quite normal in the United States. So you can't say this with any sense of finality to it. We all have a sense that this is now an established pattern, which from time to time we have to be prepared to live with. People, for some reason, do these outrageous acts of violence for whatever reason. We are left simply to ask the questions, and there are no easy or ready answers. I wanted to talk about that today. I want us all to talk about that. What is it in this culture, in this society? What is it that makes this occurrence not only extremely tragic, but also becoming more and more normal? That we, after a while, we say, oh, another killing, or another set of killings. You know, this is not the way people should live, not in such a modern society that boasts that it has a handle on so many things, science and a good life, but also ever-present death. We don't know when these things are likely to happen. We know only that, for the most part, these acts of violence are committed by people who appear to be just individuals drifting through life. Let me just interject here. There's a lot of repairs and stuff going on in the complex where I live, so I'm hearing the noise, and I have earplugs in, so if you hear it, that's what it is. We can't do more to cover up the noise. But it should end shortly. What is it that you're thinking with this news breaking, and with time, more stuff is happening, adding more dimension to this, to these events? What does it encourage you to think? What does it say to you about how life is lived now? What our society has come to? Well, we know from the reaction in the White House, President Trump has issued his pro forma statements about how terrible it is. But then he kind of upped the ante for himself after members of Congress and others seized upon the moment to lay the blame squarely at his feet, saying that Trump's racism since taking office, his open and avowed racism, has helped to fuel very bad thoughts and reactions in many people who psychologically are fragile, or who would seize upon his words as a kind of encouragement to resort to violence, senseless violence. I mean, these people didn't do anything to the ones who took them out. But Trump is now battling on two fronts. How does he remain faithful to his, what he perceives as his constituency, and at the same time express thoughts that, frankly, are not the thoughts that they have in mind. Many people in the United States were energized by Trump and his prating, his racist prating, and took his expressions as a kind of license to do whatever they wanted to do, that they fantasized in doing. And this gave them encouragement to go ahead and do it. And yet, we see that this kind of violence preceded Trump. So this is a very American phenomenon. It is not new, nor is it especially, comparatively speaking, nor is it heinous. Not from the historical record, we can see the kinds of violence, genocidal violence, unspeakable violence, on the basis of race. And the dynamic has remained remarkably the same. Disaffected whites taking their anger out on people of color. I find in some of the coverage this idea, you know, they do report on the violence, but then they do their level best to suggest how extraordinary it is, how unusual it is. It isn't unusual at all. In fact, one of the worst violators in this regard is the government itself. And we have this schizophrenic relationship with history where a matter is important only in the immediate aftermath. Context is irrelevant. Nobody raises the appropriate questions to say, what is the history of this kind of behavior in the United States? Why does it happen? In all the times that it did happen, what was the catalyst for it? And we find that racism turned out to be dominant in looking at the whole picture. But today I want to ask you, how do you interpret these events? And there are just a few. You can go down the list and there are many, many more. The numbers keep getting larger and larger. The actions taken are so willful and so heinous. You become speechless because you can't imagine that people will methodically set out to do this kind of harm. And more, they're looking for larger and larger numbers. Their name is to be associated not just with the act, but with the enormity of the act. And this gets them a kind of fame, because the newspapers would cover it, and the television stations will cover it, and people will be talking about them, which is one of the prizes for committing these kinds of acts, that they become immortal. So take whichever angle you'd like to take, but let's see if you can manage to bring us closer to an understanding of what you think all of this stems from. What do you think they have in common? Why do these things happen? Why are they happening now? And with such alarming consequence. More and more people's lives are being taken arbitrarily. And then we have people like Trump and others. They're not even concerned about what it actually means. They first are concerned about defending the person, and immediately people talk about, as Trump did, that one of the gunmen was, I refuse to say his name, was obviously mentally ill. This is a new thing, the mentally ill. And that's funny, because when people said this about the president, that he is mentally ill, he said, of course not. I'm able to run this country. I'm able to run this country. Therefore, I'm not mentally ill. Therefore, I'm not racist. I'm all well put together. And I am now exhorting the nation to set aside any ill feeling that you have and be good Americans, like I am. So let's get on with this conversation. Let's see how you are reacting to it, your thoughts about this, because, you know, this is very deep. Of course it's very deep with all these killings, but there's something I think we haven't quite gotten a hold of, either because we're reluctant to say it, or we just are in total denial, or we just are despairing, and we don't want to look at the reality that many people are living in this country every single day. And on the top of all of that, we have again the those who see it as a perfect opportunity to get other agendas done. For example, President Trump has decided that, yes, something ought to be done. And what ought to be done? Well, you see, several of the victims were Mexican. Well, this gives him an entree, he thinks, to argue that if the Mexicans weren't here polluting the country, destroying America, they wouldn't be killed. I mean, that is the suggestion, the hidden suggestion. Sorry that they lost their lives, many of them, but the assumption right off the bat was that they were all illegal immigrants. We shouldn't really weep for those who died, who were from Mexico. The president of Mexico is now threatening to take action against the United States for cultivating an environment in which mass murders, especially of Mexicans, are acceptable. Immediately when the explanation is that this young man was mentally ill, it kind of took the edge off the raw business that he was a racist. And his stated purpose, according to reports, was to get rid of Hispanics who are invading America. Where did you hear that before? This wasn't said in a vacuum. The president provided the justification for it. Since being in office, his whole tenor has been about eradicating, getting rid of the pollutants. And so where do we go? How do we interpret this? What do you believe is the best next step? How should this nation be thinking now? And those three instances that I talked about were just in the last few weeks and until Saturday, I think. I can't remember the days. They fly by so fast. But the point is that in rapid succession, these things are current, and in some cases concurrent. All right. 888-874-4888. That's the number to call to give us some pointers from your view as to what is it that we're experiencing here and how should we react to it? What should we do? Khalil from South Carolina, you're on the air.
Hi, Utrice. I hope you and everyone else is doing well today.
Thank you. Same to you.
So I got my good laugh in for the day. In fact, the authorities were called because I was laughing uncontrollably when the president mentioned mental illness and people needed to be checked. It was absolutely flabbergasting. Are you following me here?
Yes.
I just could not believe what I was hearing. And he seemed to be under the influence of the stimulants again. He kept sniffing and snorting as he does often when he's speaking in public. But, you know, that's just an aside. But, however, he just engages in projection to another level. He told on himself during that speech. But it's just a cover. I just don't. We have, as societies, we have to recognize the disease, which is the white supremacy, which has permeated. It's always been here. But what the president did was just open the floodgates once again for, you know, the acceptance of white supremacy. Because, you know, the reporters have been dancing around it, calling it white nationalism, you know, these different labels. But it is what it is, and we have to call it out. And when people say, well, he's not racist, you know, people need to take their emotions out and just look at the facts. The man has conducted his business as if he were a sociopath. In other words, a usury, lying, consistent lying, treachery. And now, you know, he's always been racist. He wouldn't rent to colored folk. When they were getting money to build public housing, which is supposed to be for everyone, which is, makes it even worse.
Take a step backward. Take a step away for a minute and just give us your view of the bigger picture. What is it from your point of view?
Well, there's a statistically significant section of our society in America that is okay with white supremacy, and it always has been. We had to get really dragged into World War II. We didn't mind the Nazis too much at first. And now they're here. We have ethnocide at the border because those folks don't come from different places. And when you separate families and the children don't know where they came from and they don't know their dialect, they may all speak Spanish, but there's different dialects, you know. So it's just the grand scheme of the thing. This is still a move, as many of your wonderful callers have said. This is just another step toward the rise of white supremacy in the Western world. And it's not just here. It's in the UK. It's in Germany. You know, folks are lashing back at the other. That's why they don't have a trouble with Russia. They're not upset that Russia has been meddling in our elections because they are stone-cold white folk. You know, they're Caucasians, and they understand that. That's just my take on it.
So as you go about your daily routine, are you conscious of what is happening or Do you have to set it aside in order that you can function?
It's both. Well, living in the South, and I have to interact with many folks who are of this mindset, I try to limit my bias, because everyone has biases. So I try to do that, but I sense it. I mean, it's here every day. And one thing I have noticed is that Caucasian folk who do not like this whole meme, this whole tripe that is happening and coming from the executive office, it seems like they go out of their way to be more polite. Whereas folks who are supporters of the president and his policies, et cetera, and the attorney general, you know, they feel emboldened. Because let's remember, the Justice Department, when it was under Jeff Sessions, they made it clear that they thought the Black Lives Matter movement was a terrorist organization, and they withdrew funding from the domestic terror that has been reported on and is more of a threat by the government's own findings. You know, they've taken monies away from those programs that would fight this. So I'm concerned. I'm very concerned. I'm very concerned because there's so many guns in this state. There's more guns than people here. This is a gun culture. So I'm just telling you what I see on the ground as somebody who's a transplant. It's very different. So we should be concerned.
Well, thanks for getting us started today. Some serious issues you've put on the table for us to consider. Thank you very much. Henry from Chicago, you're on the air. What has these developments, even though they're separate and not connected, they really are. What is your reaction?
All right. Greetings, Utrice, and greetings to all the Lead Stories listeners and the PRN listeners.
Thank you.
This is, you know, not just these two events that has happened, these tragic events that has happened this weekend, but also I want to also add that there were 49 shootings here, also here in Chicago, where 7 people were killed. So, you know, the problem is that when you look at these mass shootings done, you know, by, you know, white supremacists, and you compare that to, you know, the shootings that happened, like in a city like Chicago in particularly, they want to scientifically look, why are these shooters, especially white shooters, are doing this? But then when you look at black and brown people who are shooting, they just automatically label them as criminals, and they don't want to understand, why are they doing this? So there is a racial indifference when you talk about, you know, these mass shootings done by, these white supremacists. But then again, everybody wants to turn a blind eye to the shootings, like, say, here in Chicago, and just say, well, there's just a criminal element there, so, you know, we don't have to worry about it. But now that it's starting to happen more frequently, you know, this is starting to spill over into white America in regards to the culture of gun violence that is happening. Because, you know, everybody, you know, people kind of saw what was happening in L.A. 20 years ago with, you know, with the gang violence there. And now here in Chicago, it's permeated. But now when it's happening in, you know, remote places, you know, so we have to have a careful eye on all gun violence that is happening. And even if you think it's separate, there is the connection there. So that's why I connected that third one of, you know, 49 people getting shot here in Chicago and 7 were killed. So they're all connected in some way.
How are you personally reacting to these developments?
Well, I mean, you know, I always feel sad when I hear anything of that type of nature happening. And also too, you know, like even in the local news here, because like I said, stuff like if the two events didn't happen, if the two events basically didn't happen this weekend, nobody would be talking about gun violence. But still, Chicago, like I said, 49 people were still shot. So I always look at gun violence in a very meaningful manner and trying to figure out, how can we change this culture of violence, not just from, not just from the perspective of black and brown people, but just overall, because obviously I think the previous caller, Khalil, said there's more guns than people out here. And so we have to figure out, because I'm not to the effect that, I don't want to take away nobody's Second Amendment rights or, whatever. But at the same time, we have to have some sort of humanity, some sort of, overall societal humanity with each other, and look at everything that happened. Not just, if it's just one shooting or 10,000 people get shot, we have to look at these things carefully, and not just for shooters who, are white and had a quote unquote troubled past. We have to take a look at everything beyond the scope, because in Chicago also too, the clearance rate of solving these shootings is less than 20%, whereas the nationwide average is 60%. So, my question is, why aren't these shootings being solved? Why aren't these, why aren't these shooters being caught and sent, and put to justice?
Well, from the president's own mouth, he quickly assigned the cause to mental health problems. Do you think that's the case in many of the mass shootings that we have seen, that they're all related to mental health problems?
I'm not a psychologist, but I know that, shooting multiple people is not a normal thing. So I guess in my amateur opinion, yes, I think it is a mental problem. But I think it's a mental problem when anybody shoots anybody else, outside of the realms of self-defense. So it should not just apply to white people who shoot people, but also in our own community where, we have black and brown people killing other black and brown people. That also is a mental health crisis as well.
Well, you make some good points, but at the same time, it doesn't put us closer to understanding how, as both individually and as a nation, How is it that globally the United States seems to occupy a premier position with regard to violence? And this has been the case for centuries, actually. What is so unique in the experience, the collective experience in the United States, that violence is not particularly disturbing, except if the numbers go up? The larger the toll, we could consider that a problem.
Yeah, in our society, we celebrate death when it's, or murder when it's, quote unquote, justified. Because I know when Gaddafi, when they killed Gaddafi, there were many people cheering it on. And despite what you think of Gaddafi, it's like, why would anybody cheer on somebody just getting beat to death in the street? So, it's part of American culture that, we have to change our mindset on, because whether Gaddafi, killed, so many people that he says, their lives are never going to come back anyway. So, that was something that stayed on my mind, back then when everybody was celebrating this. And then the same thing with Osama bin Laden. It was like, when they heard Osama bin Laden was killed. You know, he had everybody cheering. Like, why are we celebrating death?
Good point. Thanks, Henry, for your call today. Ed from New York, you're on the air.
Hey, hello, Eutrice. How you doing?
Okay.
Basically, I didn't listen to the president speak because I can't listen to him anymore. I think he's a symptom of a root cause. In this country, we have two historic problems, primarily that as a country and as a nation they've never dealt with: mental health and racism. This country was steeped in violence. It was steeped in blood. It was steeped in prejudice. It was founded on the assumption that the people that migrated here from England were better than the people that were here originally. And when they couldn't dominate the people that were here, they killed them. And they celebrated killing them. Thanksgiving used to be a festival of blood, where they kicked around Indian chiefs' heads and made a feast of the fact that they had dominated these people that went out and tried to help them survive through their initial entrees into this country. And the country was built by a mass slavery and a vicious, brutal type of slavery. And this country consciousness carries those weights and mental illness. There is a prevailing mental illness that runs through this country. Violence has been celebrated from the Wild West days to the Chicago gangsters, the heroization of criminal behavior and masochistic tendencies prevail throughout the society in myth, in fact. And now we're just, with Donald Trump and with the way this country is going, we're just seeing the manifestation of it. We're finally seeing what really the underbelly of this country is. And until that is faced, until the true history, until the true nature of this country is faced by the majority of the people in this country, we're always going to have these problems, and they're going to get progressively worse instead of better.
What would you say to people who'd say that what you just said is kind of giving an excuse for just heinous behavior?
It's not legitimizing it. No, I'm not legitimizing it. There are reasons for things, and this is the reason for the behavior. I by no means legitimize it or justify it, but it's an actual fact. It's what this country has stood for the hundreds of years that it manifested itself. Like I said, you can't get a positive from a negative. You understand what I'm saying? This country was started on a negative concept. It's steeped in blood and violence. It's built of blood and violence. And even the what they call the quote unquote goodness, the rugged individualist, that's a lie. The winning of the West by the gun, that's a lie. The Revolutionary War, even if you look into that and extent, it's a lie. And when you pile lie upon lie upon lie, you create a vibe. I'm not trying to be overly metaphysical, but you can create a vibe in a room by an attitude. You can create a vibe in a country. You can create a vibe in your neighborhood by an attitude. And this attitude prevails throughout this country. To when people become frustrated, they think it's okay, blame everybody. I'm going to kill everybody. I'm going to blame everybody for my own personal shortcomings and problems because that's justifiable. That's the type of psyche that this country creates in some people. And it's going on too long. We got to face the facts. We got to face this country's injustice. It's got to be addressed, and it's got to be laid on the table. The issues of race, the issues of prejudice, the issues of institutionalized racism, the issues of poverty, the issues of class separation, all of these things, they've got to be addressed because they cause some people's psyche to crack. And it's not a justification. It's just we got to stop ignoring it. It's the 500-pound elephant in the room, and that's what causes so many people to bust, because pressure bust pipe. And that's what's happening. And Donald Trump, all these things that are going on right now, is a manifestation of centuries of pressure coming to an end.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Ed, for your observations. Chris from Lawrence, New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice.
Hello.
And hello, and hello to all the PRN listeners.
Thank
hope
you.
Hope everyone is in good spirits and good health. To speak to this issue, I do agree with the mental health considerations in any shooting, and especially in these here. I agree with that, but I look at it more as a symptom and not the cause of the shooting, because, you know, there are plenty of people who own guns and they go to work every day and they go to school and they raise their kids and they teach their kids how to shoot guns, and they never end up in a mass shooting. And I'm sure that they don't just walk through life, you know, absent of any sort of depression or down periods in their lives, but that doesn't necessarily always lead to a mass shooting. And when you look at situations, I think one of the brothers called from Chicago, I think when you look at those situations, and if we really just wrote down on paper everything we knew about people in a place like Chicago, or young men or young women or whoever's in Chicago involved in these gangs, I think if we wrote those names down, we wrote down where's the mother, where's the father, what are the conditions of the school, how much money is in his bank account, what's in his refrigerator. Like, if we wrote down everything that we could possibly get together about his life outside of his gang activity, outside of the actual shooting, I think we would figure out more what the connections are. Because I think that you could also take a look at these other gentlemen who are involved in these mass shootings. Are these adult men or middle-aged men, white, as they seem to be, you know, as they are predominantly in these situations? Are these white men employed? Are these white men married? What kind of savings do these people have? Is there any, if you looked at them on paper, is there any positive outlook for their future? And what is the current state of their lives? And then you look at, say, a mother who drives her children into a river and kills all five of them. You go, oh, she's crazy. And of course, that's a crazy thing to do. But again, let's write down what we don't see. Let's check the fridge. Let's check the bank account. Let's check the education level. Let's find out where she went to elementary school. Did she have both parents? And if she didn't, then why?
And but these recent killings that we're talking about seem to have a very political origin.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to be very political in intent.
Okay.
As opposed to
immigrants,
you know, somebody having a mental breakdown or something. It seems as if there was an intent to do harm on a mass scale in order to communicate a particular message. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely an act of terrorism. The thing is that when this is done, the people being used, the people whom they may or may not know, but they're being told, oh, you know, it's a Mexican or it's an immigrant. It could be from Haiti, or from China, or from wherever. They could say, oh, these immigrants are taking jobs that belong to America, and we're losing, you know, what this country was, or you know, or whatever made it great to whoever it made it great to. They're saying they're losing this. They're being told that. And their position, and then again, the people doing this, it's not like they are in a good position that they're going to lose. Their lives already suck. But they're being told their lives suck because of someone else.
Mm-hmm. They're
being pointed in the direction. Mm-hmm.
Do you suspect that, especially in these large, these mass killings,
yes,
that it is hinting at a monster coming alive, that they are taking the lead in waging a kind of race war? From an ideological perspective, they are the messengers of the ideology of racial superiority.
Well, absolutely. I mean, if you think about it, like I grew up in New York, so I've always felt like I've never not felt like there was a race war happening. I'm 41 now. I've never not felt like that's been the case. If you, they asked, I forget the last police commissioner, they asked him, hey, listen, why is it that you can't seem to increase your black officers, the amount of black officers, right? And mm-hmm. his reply on the news was, well, so many of them had police records that there was just so much we could do. And to me, that was more than just an observation. That was more like a declaration, like mission accomplished. And so I've always felt that kind of oppressive, kind of dismantle this race one thing at a time, either through elementary school, preventing them from having jobs, preventing them from being able to provide for their families. I've always felt like those things are all pieces of not just like the gun and the shooting, like that's it too. But I've always felt like it's a lot of other things happening constantly also in terms of which race is going to do what.
I think you're right. Thank you for putting some ideas out there for us to consider and to discuss. Thanks a lot, Chris. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice. I've been thinking of a number of things. One thing that comes to mind at first is mass killings. That's nothing new. This is not a new condition that we're and now this has happened from the beginning. And I think about, let's start somewhere, to the 1400s with the papal bulls that told Europeans they could come over to this part of the world and do what they wanted to do, take what they could and kill people or enslave people or doing anything. And I think that's important. And what we're having now is a white supremacy, which came in terms of to the front after the Bacon's Rebellion, the ruling class. And that's where the economic element comes in. They saw this was a wonderful tool in their formula to enrich themselves, to have a condition called white supremacy racism. And this has been with us since the beginning of the what we call the United States of America. We've got to remember that the European invaders who came here to South America, Central America, the Caribbean, and North America engage in a fantastic policy to enrich themselves by exploiting enslaved people. And this led to the genocide of the indigenous people. They've just about disappeared from the Caribbean and most of South and Central America. And North America also. So white supremacy racism is, you know, a good formula for them for enriching the ruling class at the expense of everyone else. The problem is that most people who call themselves white or black don't understand the nature of the system. And the ruling class is able to play people so well that it is reaching the heights of wealth for itself. And this is nothing new whatsoever. So everyone is talking about the current events, the various massacres, but these things have been going on all the time. You have to play people against each other to have capitalism and imperialism reach the level that it is now. I mean, white supremacy racism is all over the world and it's working very well for those who rule at the top. The ruling class is joyful, no attention goes to them, and they're able to manipulate people so well that people don't understand the system they're in, and this white supremacy, racism, and all its policies are what is used to enrich the few at the expense of the many. And I feel that this is the sad part of it, because those of recent cases with these very ignorant so-called white men doing and thinking and saying the things they do. I mean, it's so sad that, you know, we have ignorant people who are so ignorant that would do these heinous crimes and it's for the benefit of the ruling class and, you know, get away with it. And it is a very sad situation we're in, because the only way the ruling class can rule is to keep people ignorant.
But at the same time, would you say, how would you categorize these crimes? Is it murder? Is it something else? Is it, you know, genocide? How would you categorize it if you were to put a label on it?
Well, if I were able to put a label on it, it was a crime of approved murder. These crimes are occurring because of incitement by the ruling class to draw attention away from what they're doing to these people who are committing these murders, these poor, hapless little white people who are going around doing these things especially, and no attention is put on them who are running a capitalist system which is designed to enrich a few at the expense of the many, including little white people. But you hear none of the little white people complaining about the ruling class people who are putting them in these terrible straits with no jobs or a little part-time job or suffering in such a way as they're committing suicide and by drugs or by guns or whatnot, because they don't understand the system. You can't expect your enemy to explain what he's doing to you. You go to his schools. Is he going to teach you real history? No. You go to his colleges. You think you're getting higher education, but you're getting more training. You're not educating yourself to how the system really works unless you study on your own or go to some very exceptional school. The point is, the only way this system can work, capitalism on steroids, is to keep people ignorant, and they're doing a good job at it. All of Trump's theatrics, they're disgusting, but I wouldn't say that he's the only racist president. As far as I can see, every person in that position was a racist. There's no way that you can operate the system and get the support of the ruling class without being a racist. So people are excited about Trump, but it doesn't matter whether it's Trump or someone else, the system is the same. In order for this system to work for the benefit of the ruling class, it's got to have white supremacy, racism, and in this country, it's working on steroids. It exists other places, but it's worse here. And, you know, they're very successful here, and that's why they are some of the richest people in the world. So the point is, white supremacy, racism must be closely tied up with economics and the enrichment of the few and the poverty for the masses.
Well, thank you very much, David. Always, always something to learn from you. Leona from Michigan, you're on the air.
Greetings, Eutrice.
Hello.
Listen, I'm glad you raised the question the way you did today. You know, I do for whatever it's worth, condolences to all the innocent people who were harmed and or killed, you know, in this past 72 hours. However, your framing of the question made me think of the work of Dr. Francis Kress Wellesley, the great black psychiatrist, general and child psychiatrist. And I want to just share a couple of quotes from her work real quick. First of all, she defines white supremacy racism as follows. Quote, "The local and global power system structured and maintained by persons who classify themselves as white, whether consciously or subconsciously determined, this system consists of patterns of perception, logic, symbol formation, thought, speech, action, and emotional response, as conducted simultaneously in all areas of people activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. The ultimate purpose of the system is to prevent white genetic annihilation on Earth, a planet in which the overwhelming majority of people are classified as non-white, black, brown, red, and yellow, by white-skinned people. All of the non-white people are genetically dominant in terms of skin coloration compared to the genetically recessive white-skinned people." End of quote. Now, in her book called The ISIS Papers,
but
The Keys to the Colors.
What you are thinking. Don't tell us what she thought. She already did the service of putting it down in writing.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
But I'm asking, what is your consciousness at this level about these events? How are you, with all that information, interpreting these events?
I'm thinking that Dr. Francis Kress Wellesley nailed it and did us a good service, and it would pay to study her work. She has a chapter in a book called Guns as Symbols, one that I'm going to read again today. She talks about how, on some level, well, if I could just, do you mind if I give you another paragraph or no?
This is we what run out, out of time, actually, right at the point of closing the program.
All right, very good. Very good. But the point
you obviously do a lot of reading, and I appreciate that because it elevates your intellect. But you have to go a step further, and that is, how do you use the information you have to interpret correctly what it is you're witnessing? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, her writings would be instructive, for sure, but it is more important, and I think she herself would agree, it is important about to see the application of her work.
Yeah. Well, I think
knowledge, in your interpretation of your reality or our reality. That's what we're looking for. I like it when people think for themselves, utilizing everything else that they've acquired, but you think for yourself. Oops, music, which means I gotta go. Thank you so much, though, for calling, Leona. Very much interested in hearing more from you. That brings us to the end of our program today, but it is not the end of our discussion. We will proceed tomorrow as well. Take care.